The Ira Kaufman Podcast is here. It is on the Sage of Tampa Bay. Sports is in draft countdown mode. We are just about 4 weeks away. Sage, I'm Steve Isbitz, a Joe Bucks fan. Lee DeKemper is here. And this is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa and Ed Moore's Cadillac. Brandon, Ira, how are you? I've got a couple of incredible stories for you.
I don't know how to feel, Lee, because all I know is that you got Isbitz on the prowl in Phoenix, the beautiful Arizona Biltmore, my second home.
Your
been there about
home.
Five times for these NFL owners' meetings. And he's out there prowling the hallways, cozying up to the Glazers, getting up close and personal with Bruce Arians, Jason Light, and I'm watching Everybody Loves Raymond for the fourth time rerun. Well, what's going on here, Lee? How am I supposed to feel?
Well, I can tell you how you're supposed to feel. I thought of you when I heard this today. I heard Bob Costas on Russo's show. When those guys decide to go to a bar together, they do shots of Geritol. Because Costas, just like Russo does, whines about how he can't find FS1 on his cable/satellite package. Are these people that much of a technophobes?
They are called traditionalists. Try it, Mr. DeKemper. Try it.
Here's one for you, Ira. Tradition my ass. Here's one for you. Ira, every year when the NCAA tournament comes on, do you break out into convulsions because the games are on True TV? No. You pull out your phone, you Google what channel True TV is, problem solved. These guys don't know any better.
I'm not a technological maven like you over there.
You don't have to be a... Do you have a phone? Yes, you do.
Give me a typewriter and a piece of paper. Yeah. I'm not ready to roll over
These guys are so out of touch, but you're not out of touch it comes to technology.
I'm not out of touch, my friend. And speaking of out of touch, we're going to touch this podcast.
You're going to touch that salad.
With a fantastic...
Sorry about that.
Whoa. What happened there? Well, our waiter came over and blasted over a full Diet Coke at the table. Luckily, the electronic equipment appears to be spared, but I'm pulling away on the side to record this. A couple of things to know about the podcast coming up. First, when I went to Phoenix, I had a couple of goals in mind to get some answers for this podcast and two of the famous stories in the podcast. One was 2 years ago, Ira revealed that Arthur Blank, owner of the Falcons, used to call him Irv. He never called him Ira, he just would call him Irv. And Rich McKay, in Ira's presence a couple of years ago, called Mr. Blank on it. And Mr. Blank looks up and down at Ira. He says, he looks like an Irv. And it was a hilarious story. But I wanted to follow up with Mr. Blank to see if he stood by that and to get a little more. So I tell you about that with Ira here in just a moment. But the bigger one was Bruce Allen. Ira's told this podcast a couple of times before his first Hall of Fame presentation, which was of Ed Sable, owner and founder of NFL Films. It meant a lot to Bruce Allen, the old Bucks GM. And in Ira's hotel room in Dallas, the night before, at about midnight, Ira's in bed, he's sleeping, he's half asleep, whatever. He gets a phone call, he picks it up. It's Bruce Allen who says, Ira, it's Bruce Allen. Don't fuck it up. And he hangs up on him. Well, I set out to talk to Mr. Allen, who doesn't like the media very much, and get some answers of why he would do such a thing to the sage of Tampa Bay sports. First, we're going to hear from Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa and Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon. Then we tell the stories and talk lots of Bucks. The Ira Kaufman Podcast, as always, is presented by Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa and Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon. General Manager Brian Danahy at Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa. He knows you've been thinking about moving up to Cadillac luxury, and if so, now's the time during the Tournament of Savings at Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa. Right now, get move-up sales event savings on a 2019 XT5 crossover. Drive for only $339 a month at Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmoorescadillactampa.com. That's edmoorescadillactampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. The offer expires at the end of this month. And at Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon, they are right there on Causeway Boulevard. Total savings up to $11,000 on all remaining 2018 Cadillac models. They are all on clearance at Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon. Their website, edmoorescadillactbrandon.com. They have their own tournament of savings as well, so get over there. We are pleased to bring you the podcast today, and all of Ira's work is presented by Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa and Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon. Let's get to the star of the show. All right, Ira, always great to hear from Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. We can't wait for you to meet new general manager Hector Lebrano right there on Causeway Boulevard. All right, so Sage, here's the story.
Arthur Blank first.
So I catch up to Arthur Blank over an array of cheeses and sliced meats, okay? And he's loading up, and I tell
him... I'm your entree to all these conversations. It all starts with me, and I'm not there. Unbelievable.
Well, this one, I just went up to him and said, hey, you know, Mr. Blank, blah, 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 whatever, how are you? Working him over a little bit. His head is just dialed into the cheese, and he's trying to pick his salamis that he's got
and
there.
And he's by himself.
Absolutely by himself, sure. Otherwise, I'd have no chance, right? So I said to him, look, I said, I got to tell you a story, Mr. Blank. You're a bit of a legend in Tampa these days, and not just because you hired Dirk Cutter and took him off our hands. And he starts laughing at me. That got his eyeballs.
You're talking to a billionaire over here, Stevie.
Hey, it's amazing they let me in the place. So I said, I got to tell you a story. I said, you called Ira Kaufman, works for me here at JoeBucksFan.com. You know, Ira's been with us a few years. You called him Irv for years. And at the owner's meetings here, he called you on it with Rich McKay. Rich McKay said to you, hey, Arthur, you're disrespecting his name's Ira. You know, and he looked you up and down. And he said, oh, he looks like an Irv. Which was a classic story. So I told that to Arthur.
That's like a line out of Seinfeld. That's something Kramer would say.
So I told that to Blank, that he's a hero. And he said, you know what? Ira, this is where he goes, Ira. He says, you know what? Ira's really a great, great ambassador for our league. And he said, I've known him about 20 years. I used to talk to him a lot. And he's this and he's that. And good work with the Hall of Fame. And I hear him talk a lot, you know, which led me to believe he listens to you on the Mad Dog Russo show on Sirius.
Unless he's listening to the Joe Bucks Fan podcast, the Kemper. You never know.
And I said, you want to apologize to him for calling him Irv?
Did he dispute any parts of the story?
And he said, no, he looks like an Irv. That's, I said, you know, I appreciate that. I'm going to relay that, and we'll have a lot of fun with it. He's like, you know, anytime. He said, you know,
he gave me all these plaudits.
All these plaudits out of nowhere. He called you and a great ambassador of the game. You believe that, Lee?
Well, I bet he does listen to you on Russo because he's a regular on Russo's show. But every Super Bowl week, doesn't he appear on there? And sometimes during the summer, but about twice a year, he's on Russo's show.
Gave me a lot of ammunition to ask for more money from Joe Bucks fan. I'm a great ambassador over there, Steve.
Ask for more money at Russo. He's got a bigger budget.
There you go. Did he say anything about trying to get Raheem Morris a job, or he doesn't mention any of that stuff?
No, I didn't go there with him. He was back into the cheeses and the meats, and, you know, I don't have a lot in common with Arthur Blank.
He didn't say, I'm worried about the Bucks with Bruce Arians. It's a hell of a hire. He didn't go there, right?
No, he didn't go there. I didn't ask him about the Bucks.
Did he say anything about the Brie?
Yeah, how about the Brie?
No. He filled his plate, and he did ask me what Joe Bucks fan is, which I thought was interesting. You know,
what is it?
I explained to him, how we've taken over media down here, and we had a little fun with that. You know, I'm not going to quote him on some of the other stuff he said.
He didn't mention anything about how others are hiding behind a paywall now.
Did you mention I was the lead columnist for this August organization? Was that thrown out there?
A lead columnist. I didn't go there. I just said, he understands. He understands. I did ask him about Cutter, but that wasn't really for public consumption. And, we were told by a very, very reliable source years ago that, you know, Cutter wanted to make sure everybody knew that he wasn't fired by Arthur Blank, that he actually asked for his release because
right.
he was loyal to Mike Smith.
Right.
Yeah, I'd say it's a reliable source.
Yeah, to say the least. And so... Blank's heart happy to have him back, and he said something like, a guy takes off. Sometimes you appreciate him more when he's gone, and we're glad he's back. And, you know, Raheem likes the energy.
I assume that's the only story you picked up during your trip to Phoenix. The only one.
Well, no, the Bruce Allen thing. So I was scoping Bruce Allen, trying to ask him about this.
Bruce Allen tries to disappear into the crevices of the Arizona Biltmore when he goes out there. He doesn't like talking to the media, Steve. I can't believe he'd give you 5 minutes. Can't believe it.
Well, he didn't. I tried to talk to him, and he shut me down. And then there were a couple other times. It's just he's not approachable.
Did he give you that withering stare, that contemptuous stare that he's famous for?
Yeah, he's just not a nice...
You got the nerve to ask me something?
Yeah. Yeah, and he had his hair all coiffed, and he's wearing his suits. And, you know, he's like 6'4", whatever he is. And
was he at the bar at the time? He could be found at the bar.
Not when he shot me down, no.
All right.
And I'm like... I tried. I was looking for my spot. I couldn't find it. And I'm like, ready to give up. So
He's usually hanging around Dan Snyder, right, Steve? He's usually in and Snyder's a purveyance over there.
I gave up. But when I was leaving, I'm waiting for a taxi, and lo and behold, you know, there's a whole line of people waiting in cars, and it's the Biltmore, and it's all fancy, and they got all the bomb dogs everywhere.
And people love to get the heck out of there, right? And they're going. They want to go back to Buffalo.
I don't know where they're going.
Why do they want to go back to Buffalo? Like the owner, you can't just stick around for a day or two. You're out in the desert.
I don't know why anybody would live north of Florida or north of Arizona this time of year.
All right. So anyway, it's chaos in front. So what do you see at that
well,
point?
Well, next thing I know, I'm standing there. I look to my right. There's Bruce Allen. So I'm like, oh, this is it.
Is he hailing a cab, too?
I don't know. He was waiting for some kind of car. So I go up to him, and I say, Bruce, I'm from Tampa, work with Ira Kaufman. You got to let me tell you a great story that has to do with you. You've become a legend.
He's already shot you down once. Now this is.
So he's looking at me up and down, and he's like, all right, let me hear it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it.
Ah.
So I tell him the story about you in the Hall of Fame and Ed Sable, and Allen himself finishes the punchline of the don't.
You said you called Ira at midnight.
And he says, don't F it up. That came out of Alan's mouth. He finished it. He started laughing. And I said, I got to ask you for our podcast. Why did you do that? Why would you do that? I said, I embellished a little bit. I got to be honest.
His first presentation. He's nervous already.
I said, Ira, you know, he's telling this story. I said, Ira's told this story on the podcast a couple of times. And, you know, I pretending I'm you, I'm saying, yeah, I'm a mature man. Nobody talks to me like that. Bruce Allen's dropping an F-bomb on me the night before this presentation. He asked me to do it, and I was insulted, and I couldn't sleep. And I embellished a little bit. So
did he enjoy the embellishment?
He did. He did. He said, you know what? He said, I asked Ira to make that presentation. Ed Sable was a 20-year project of mine to get him into the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Put a lot of work and heart and discussions of trying to get it done, and we finally got him there, and I had to decide who was going to present. They let me decide.
Wow.
And I picked Ira. He said, so I picked Ira to make the presentation. I thought he would do Ed right, and he had a good sense of NFL films. But next thing I know, this is Bruce Allen talking, he said, everybody I tell who I said, I picked Kaufman to present it, they're like, you picked Kaufman?
That's what? Tremendous. Tremendous.
What? Why would you do that? He's going to screw it up.
Ira, screw it up.
He's never been in the room. He's presenting. What? You picked the wrong guy.
He'll freeze. Yeah.
And Allen is saying, everybody's telling me I picked the wrong guy. He said, so I panicked a little bit.
Fantastic story.
He said, I started thinking I picked the wrong guy. And so I felt
I had to call him.
I had to call him and lay it on him. So I did.
That's outstanding, Steve. That's some stuff I didn't even know.
I told you the story.
He stuck with me. In the end, he stuck with me. You know why? It was too late to make a switch.
Ooh.
Ooh,
but I told you what Joe Horrigan told me about your presentation of Sable.
Repeat it, Lee. It's worth
repeating. Sort of backs up what Bruce Allen said, only that Horrigan told me, and Joe Horrigan was the guy he oversees, used to. He's retiring. But he oversaw all activities at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, including the elections, including the voters, et cetera. Presentations.
He's got a show on Sirius, I believe.
Horrigan told me all about that once before, about how it went down and everything. And he said that when you were selected, he said there was some apprehension because they being the old guard of the NFL, they wanted Sable in.
Yes.
And there was apprehension only because you had never done that before. That was your very first presentation.
That's right.
And in Horrigan, if I remember his words correctly, said you knocked it out of the park. That you surpassed everyone's beliefs and expectations. You knocked
it out. I was no longer a virgin. You know, there was a lot of apprehension about that first time.
Muriel?
Including from Muriel Berkowitz. But in the end, everything worked out, and I got a standing ovation over there.
And you've gone from Muriel Berkowitz to Robin Mead.
And better.
Oh!
What else you got, Stevie? What else you got? Now, let's do a little buck talk, Stevie.
Well, we have plenty of buck talk for the day, and we'll lead into that with when I had this great captive audience from Bruce Allen. When that was over, I figured, well, I got one shot at this. I said, hey, you screwed us in Tampa. You dropped Deshaun Jackson and Swaggy Baker on us, and you didn't even warn anybody. And I said, that's just cold. He's like, you know what he says? He said, welcome to free agency.
Yep.
He said, compensatory picks has changed a lot of how we all communicate, and that's then we left it at that. And he slapped me in, and see you later.
Since we're talking about bucks, this is a perfect segue. And before I get going, I want to make it clear. that I'm a fan of Quan Alexander's. People think I'm not. I think he may be the perfect teammate. I saw how he stuck up for Roberto Aguayo when everybody and their brother wanted him to run out of town. He stuck up for him, and I remember I was talking to him about this. He looked me right in the eye as if I was doubting him. He goes, I meant every word. That's laudable. So I'm a fan of Quan Alexander's. This, and I'm searching for the word, so I'm stuttering. This hyperbole about Quan Alexander, Jason Light, he dropped this on SiriusXM NFL Radio from Phoenix, that Quan Alexander, quote unquote, a great leader. Great leader? Was Light watching his own team? What did he lead? Did he lead people to the John at halftime? What did he lead? One of the worst defenses mankind's ever seen. What did he lead? You know, Baker and DeSean Jackson running amok. Absolutely running amok. What did he lead?
He did finally speak up against Swaggy. Finally.
Day before Christmas. Season's over with.
Season's over. You're right.
I give him credit for that. But if he's such a great leader, that should have been nipped in the bud in August, much less
you're right.
December.
And you've heard me say it many times on this podcast when we're talking about Quan Alexander. I said he was not a polished pro. He wasn't. We loved his enthusiasm, but a lot of times he got himself out of position. He wasn't disciplined. There's a guy on the Falcons. I think the guy is fabulous. Deion Jones. Mm-hmm. I think he's tremendous. He went down, I believe it was week one last year, and they also lost Keanu Neal. But Jones was the critical guy. The Falcons were never the same.
No, they were. You're right.
Never the same. They finally got him back. By the time they got him back, they were kind of out of it. Quan Alexander's not Deion Jones, and of course he's not Luke Kuechly. Two guys that are right there in that
same division.
Darn division. Mm-hmm. Now I don't want to get the Kemper's blood boiling because we got a nice little podcast going. But if they think Devin White is Deion Jones, I'm taking him at number five. We better move on because I can see the Kemper.
I got a good story about this.
The indigestion's beginning.
I got a good Lee story about this. Oh. I'm out in Phoenix.
Oh boy!
And I get a text from as a guy that I know, and I get I actually ended up with two emails from two other people as well. And it turns out there's a podcast, Locked On Bucks podcast. I don't know the guys, but Lee's met them before from Bucks Nation. And they take some listener voicemails. And anyway, it turns out that some guy left a voicemail for their podcast, just went off on Lee on saying that Quan, it has a happy ending here. Goes off on
not Lee. Not a Bob Kraft happy ending.
No,
you know.
No,
okay.
not about drafting a defensive lineman. It was about
no.
Quan.
Basically, this guy's saying that I listen to the Ira Kaufman podcast all the time, and I can't believe that Lee is out there saying that the defense got better without Quan, and that's a reason that we shouldn't have Quan. This guy, and this guy went on a nice tirade. Lee, freaking out. Oh, it was funny. Now, the hosts actually backed Lee. They went two angles with it. They said, well, one, look, Lee has never said, and this is an important nuance, Lee has never said the Bucks got better on defense because Quan Alexander was off the field.
He just said when.
Right.
He said when.
Just that the facts are the facts, and Quan was gone, and defense got better. It's a very rare occurrence in the NFL for your, you know, allegedly superstar middle linebacker.
Who called the plays?
So the hosts backed Lee on that, and they also discussed that, hey, because this guy was really ranting, Lee, and, you know, this guy, it just made him mental.
Have you heard this rant, Lee?
No,
it?
But it doesn't surprise me. I cause people to go mental.
I just thought of it, and the hosts were like saying, hey, we met Lee up at the combine, and he's working his tail off, asking questions. He's not just making stuff up. They were good questions. And
well,
you know,
thank you. I want to thank those guys for – I don't know. I didn't ask them to defend me, but I appreciate their objectivity. And,
at least somebody will defend you, DeKemper.
Yeah, I know. That woman the other night.
And then there was a couple of emails?
On the same subject. Hey, you should listen to this. This guy's ripping Lee. And the way it was phrased, it was as if the hosts were killing him, but it was actually they were defending Lee the whole time.
Outstanding.
But the leader end of it, of Jason Light saying that, it is weird.
A great leader.
It's just weird.
Maybe it's just me. And again, this is not anti-Quan. I like Quan. I've been happy if he would have stayed, but I don't.
I wanted to keep him at the right price.
That's
please.
True. I never wrote a story that, you know, they absolutely positively have to keep him. No. To me, a great leader, spring to mind, Ronnie Lott. That's what I call a great leader. Yes, I know Ronnie Lott's a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest defensive backs ever. Not just his passion, but he just wouldn't tolerate nonsense. He wouldn't tolerate poor play.
He probably just had to give you a look. He was that much of a leader.
Yeah,
just
he was.
Look.
You're right. And I remember Lawrence Taylor said he – and this is Lawrence Taylor. I know Lawrence Taylor's checkered past and everything. You can't question his play. Lawrence Taylor once said, there's no one I respect more than Ronnie Lott. That's coming from an opponent who they brawled against – well, their teams brawled against each other for supremacy, the NFL, a few times.
As far as Quan's concerned, Steve, enthusiasm can only take you so far. It's an important ingredient. Want to, enthusiasm, hustle. But you also have to be disciplined. And he's got to work on that. And I think John Lynch and the Niner coaching staff is going to find that out.
You notice I have never brought up his supposedly missed tackles. And you used the word, not mine. He used the word discipline. His heart's in the right spot. I love his heart.
No question.
How could you not? But like I said, I just, this hyperbole about, you know, when John Lynch said he makes everybody better around him, I almost walked into a wall when I heard that.
Now, Steve, in stark contrast to hyperbole about Quan Alexander, we have brutal candidness about Gerald McCoy.
Folks who didn't read your column yet, yeah, we'll just pretend nobody read it, Ira. I want to go.
I don't know if I like the premise of that.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound right.
Well, I didn't mean it like that. I meant for the sake of the podcast.
That's the line of the podcast, Lee.
Hey, it's got comments under it. Somebody read it.
That's
no,
right.
I'm just teasing it.
Robo comments.
I meant for the. Yeah, yeah. The Russian bots.
Yeah, bots. The robo.
I just thought Arians was victimized by his candor.
Now, so let's go around the horn here, because I think we all have three different views on the McCoy situation, which makes it fascinating. Your column, Ira, focused on Gerald McCoy sort of getting devalued by the comments of Bruce Arians. Explain.
Look, I've been looking at some of the other stories that took place out of the Biltmore coach's breakfast on Tuesday morning. One guy broke down Bill Belichick's answers. I don't know if you saw it.
I saw that.
So he said, we'll see, about 21 times.
Yeah,
now, the leader of the free world, Donald Trump, he says we'll see all the time. We'll see.
And sad.
We'll see what happens.
Sad.
That is, and sad. We'll see what happens.
Fake news.
Trump says that all the time. But Belichick said it 21 times in 43 minutes on Tuesday morning. Arians doesn't say we'll see. Sometimes that's a good answer. Not 21 times, but when it came to McCoy, who's a guy that, Lee, tell me if I'm out of bounds here, but I think he's a guy who, if he, you know, puts his feet on the ground and says, I'm not interested in restructuring, he's probably not going to be here. I don't think that's outlandish to say that. So with that backdrop, guys, there's a pretty good chance you're going to try to peddle him. At some point and get a fourth-round pick instead of releasing him. Why not? And when you got your own coach saying he's not the same player he was 4 years ago, I know some people say, well, everybody knows that. They can look at the film. But I think when it comes from the new coach on the block, and he's saying it about his own – who says that about their own player? It's very unusual to hear that, Lee. Very unusual to hear a coach with a guy that's on his roster – say he's not the same player he was. I mean, that kind of threw me for a loop.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say I can break down tape and, oh, the guy isn't doing this, isn't doing that, doesn't have footwork right, isn't, you know. That's why I talk to NFL people. I think you're sort of the same way. That's why we have access to these people. That's why I go to these places like Indianapolis. And
the difference
once
is
in a blue
when I talk to somebody, I mention the guy's name.
Yeah.
You're the master of the unnamed quote over there.
Well,
we're still waiting for some of your sources.
But I've yet to hear, speaking of on the record, I'll just use an example. Kyle Shanahan. You know, I talked to him one time, and I basically said, you know, this guy, Gerald McCoy, is not popular with Bucks fans. They think he's overrated. I'll never forget the look Shanahan gave me, like, are you out of your mind? And I asked him, can you explain why McCoy's a good player? And he went on to explain. So, you know, that's why I go to these places. You know, speaking of on the record, Shanahan was on the record. If McCoy was a bad player, I would believe he would have been gone from the Bucs some time ago. I think there's a lot of things at play here. I think this is public posturing. What you said in your initial preamble, I think has some merit. What I mean by that is they're squeezing him to restructure his contract, and apparently I think he used the term feet in the ground. He's digging his feet in. I think that's what's going on here. And so Bruce Arians is going public. Like, hey, we think you're a good player. Hint, hint, but not at $13 million. Maybe at $9 million. Maybe at $7 million. granted, if the Bucks weren't in a salary cap crunch, I don't think we'd be hearing any of this. But I think they're trying to get McCoy to restructure his contract. And the public is saying, if you don't restructure your contract, you very well could be an ex-Buck.
All right, Steve, I'm going to look at it like that. Good point by Lee. Steve, I'll throw this at you. If you're McCoy, you hear the comments from Bruce Arians, the very pointed comments.
Notice he didn't say he's a bad player.
Is that going to spur you to restructure your contract, or is that going to spur you to say, I got to get the heck out of here. Let me play for somebody else that really believes in me. What do you think?
Well,
I don't think McCoy necessarily feels he's not the player he was 4 years ago. I'm not sure he agrees with that.
Well, you can look at it a lot of different ways. I think the Bucks are trying to light a fire under McCoy, because I don't know why else you would say such a thing. As you wrote, Ira, this doesn't help his trade value, and it doesn't help anything other than putting it out there for McCoy to hear that the organization really believes that I'm a $9 million player instead of 13 or 8 or whatever number you want to throw out there, or 10. But I think they also might be trying to light a fire under him. The Arians quote on McCoy, the other media outlets, I believe they got it wrong. I think that Arians actually said in there, if you really go back and study it like the Zapruder film, that he's looking for, that you can see a guy's hunger and passion in OTAs. I believe that's part of what he said there, and it got twisted a little bit. But the point is that I think they might be trying to light a fire under him to help his trade value. Where word gets around the league, this guy looks like $1 million, and he's there, and he's grinding, and he's helping. But I think there's also some uncertainty that, look, Vita Vea missed a lot of games last year. Bo Allen missed a bunch of games with a bad foot. They might not.
How would you know?
Yeah. They might.
Quinnen Williams could be gone by number five.
They might not draft a defensive tackle. So what kind of defense are you going to have without McCoy and no new defensive tackle? I mean, yesterday, Bruce Arians was talking about Will Golston putting on a little weight. I was like, whoa, what? So I don't know. I think they might be on the fence, but, you know, the restructuring of his contract and the pressure and the posturing, as Lee said, that could go all the way through August, and they could look at him in the end of August and say, Gerald, you take $9 million or you're out.
Wouldn't they want an answer by draft night, Lee, ideally?
Oh, preferably, sure. Now, what do you guys think about this? Could it be the Bucks ran up the flagpole that McCoy was available for a trade and they're not getting any nibbles?
Yeah, yeah. What do you think McCoy would generate in return, Steve? Honestly.
Well, the problem is that it's late, right? Teams have their money plans set already, and it's hard to tell. Just straight up, I don't think he gets more than a fourth-round pick. Maybe you can get a fourth and a sixth or something like that.
I'm thinking maybe a fourth-round pick.
Well, Steve kind of, I thought he was going down this road. Could it be that McCoy's salary just, it's too much for other teams, too big a bite?
Yes.
That's the biggest problem trading him. I don't think you'd have a problem trading him at $9 million or something like that. But see how jaded we've become, Ira? None of us are taking Arians at his word, right? It's just that time of year. It could be the fact that Arians is like, look, I'm paying this guy $13 million. I want to see him practice before I'm going to say that he's my starter. You know, old guys like this fade out fast. Maybe he's one of them.
It's fair to say they've already made a decision. He's not a $13 million player. I think that decision's been made.
I think it's fair.
And I'm not here to say they're wrong.
McCoy has his detractors.
Plenty of them.
Yes, and that saddens me because I can't remember a good player like McCoy have such a percentage of the fan base they can't stand him.
And a very good representative for the organization.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, good dude, obviously. And you and I have seen him after games. The guy could barely get dressed sometimes.
I thought he would have a better year than he turned in last year with Pierre Paul next to him. I thought he'd
be more productive. I kind of agree with that. Last night, I was flying from Illinois, flying from St. Louis, and a guy was trying to bait me. And it was one of these guys that, you know, McCoy's a piece of garbage. And he said, oh, he just wants attention. Don't you think that gets people hacked off in the locker room? And I responded, yeah, if he played like Daquan Bowers. We're not talking about Daquan Bowers, though. At worst, I think he's an average player. If that's some sin, well, then I admit to that sin. I don't think he's a bad player. Now, the way people pile on him, if he was a bad player, I get all that. But I don't get...
This ain't Swaggy Baker we're talking about.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
While Arians is throwing shade on McCoy, he's talking up Peyton Barber like the guy's Emmitt Smith. Well, what gives over there, Stevie? Is that coming from Light? Is he hearing it from Light? Is it the tape?
Look, I wrote on Joe Bucks Fan a month ago with an unsourced source there. I know you don't like that, but that the Bucks view Peyton Barber as a top five running back in the NFL.
Whoa. Say that again. Say that again.
The Buccaneers view Peyton Barber as a guy who can rack up 1,300 yards. And if you look at the running totals last year, that's a top five, six running back in the NFL. That's where they see the guy.
That's 500 more yards than he just got.
That's where they see the guy. You know, Arians hinted twice. He talked about it twice subtly.
I called him a 1,000-yard runner. I didn't say 1,300 yards.
And just to help our listeners out, your audio is not malfunctioning.
Arians yesterday twice mentioned about that the Bucs' downfield blocking needs to improve. He doesn't like the blocking from
I'm here to say here.
But then they kept everybody, Ira. They say this, but then they kept all their offensive linemen except for the right guard.
Well, who they didn't keep is, and he was talking about wide receivers blocking. Maybe Humphreys and DeSean Jackson were complete waste products in running. Maybe Arians saw, let's just say, argument's sake, in the film, maybe Arians saw four lost 40 or 50 yard runs from Barber because he had no wide receiver blocking. So maybe.
You mean to tell me that DeSean Jackson may not like to block? No.
I still think that's a stretch, Steve, because I didn't see where
Barber. I didn't say it.
I didn't see where Barber had a lot of chances to get to the second levels. I didn't see it.
I got to confess. I know I said this before. I'll say it again. People whining about the offensive line is a broy cried wolf for me. As long as Steve and I had this website going, and it's right about 11 years now, people have complained about this offensive line like five high school kids up front. At one point, I had the word offensive muted on Twitter because I got tired of offensive line.
Wait a minute, Lee.
And then they'd say, if they're this bad, the Bucks kept four of their top five offensive line.
I'm going to put you back on your haunches here. Steve, correct me if I'm wrong. Arians has said repeatedly, we got to get this running game going. Am I correct or am I exaggerating? He keeps saying it.
And what did he do about
it? At the same time, he's talking up Emmett Barber over here or Peyton Smith. So if you got the running back and you got no running game, what's that tell you?
Where's
the problem?
If that's the problem.
This wants to tell me the problem is DeSean Jackson's blocking.
They just re-upped both their starting tackles. If they're that bad, they wouldn't be here. Period. They wouldn't be here. So, I mean, Bruce Arians says, they can't block. But you just had, we're under good authority, Arians has clout in personnel matters.
I wouldn't be shocked if they got two new starters on the right side of the offensive
already
line.
Well, they re-up Dotson.
I understand.
And we all know they re-up. So, I mean.
They re-up Dotson, but Ismith is here to tell us that Arians doesn't think he's a very good run blocker.
They must not think they're that garbage if they re-upped him.
They could still get rid of him, too. That's not guaranteed, just like anybody else at the last minute.
He could be a swing tackle. He could end up being a swing tackle.
I don't know, Ira. I wanted to go back real quick. Team Glazer on Gerald McCoy. That's at JoeBucksFan.com. I got to ask them about that. I asked Joel Glazer how he feels about the coach talking about a six-time Pro Bowler, maybe the best Buccaneer of this decade heading out. And he didn't say, I want to keep him, or he just sort of said, we love the guy, but it's a Bruce Arians call. And
I think that's a smart answer by Glazer.
He went there. As far as the running game, Arians was raving about Barber yesterday. It was on NFL Network. He did a little stand-up. 2 minutes, they talked to him about different things. But when it gets to Barber, his voice inflection, he's gushing and gushing for Peyton Barber. I love this guy. This is my kind of guy. And, quote, he's going to set the tone of our offense. Loves him. And it's legit, Ira. He loves that guy.
Well, I've been a Barber guy, too. I said I think he's a 1,000-yard runner with better blocking, Lee. That's what I've said. This guy's done me one better. He's got him up to 1,300. The next thing I know, he's going to threaten OJ's single-season mark over there. Barber's he's a solid runner, but I think you need a complimentary back, and so far I don't see anything about Ronald Jones that tells me I can count on him.
I seem to recall Barber had his best game at Green Bay, not this past season prior.
And they lost.
But their offensive line was worse than what it was this past year. I mean, they were down a couple guys, if I recall correctly. And I seem to recall correctly that that swinging saloon doors that was playing right guard was playing right tackle that game. So here's another one for you, Ira.
Chairless was gone by 2017.
Not Chairless, the other swinging saloon doors.
Oh, Benenock.
Yeah, Benenock, yeah. Here's one for you, Ira. Here Aarons is talking up Peyton Barber. Yeah, that's a great analogy. Emmitt Smith, as you said. Yet he sends the offensive line, either him or Light, I'm sure it was with the blessing of Aarons, Light sent the offensive line, or excuse me, running backs coach, to go work out Miles Sanders and Elijah Holyfield.
You got to cover your bases, Lee. Got to cover your bases.
Well, I mean, if Barber's, the next Emmitt Smith, what are you wasting time doing private workouts with these running backs? My guess is third round.
Well, we haven't mentioned, Steve. Well, we haven't.
I got a little juice for you.
Go ahead.
A little juice for you. This was not part of the coach's breakfast. Off to the side, I asked Bruce Arians about, do you have a third down back who sort of rivals.
I've been talking up T.J. Yeldon in that role.
Well, I asked him, do you have a third down back on your roster now who can sort of rival Todd McNair, your running backs coach?
Very good.
When he played for the Chiefs and you coached him, you have that kind of guy. And what does Arians say? He says, well, I got Andre Ellington, who I – listen.
I'm turning my head already.
Can we hear – if we could only –
He didn't play last year.
If we could only see Iris' face.
He didn't play last year, gentlemen.
You turned your head like Isbitz had passed gas.
Exactly. Oh, I got a good pass gas story.
Continue.
So anyway.
A pass gas story.
He mentioned Andre Ellington.
Don't leave your cars, ladies.
Continue. Let's keep this on the up and up here.
He says, I've got Andre Ellington. I know he can do it. I've seen him do it. But we're going to find out if he still can. Meaning, like, I don't know what this guy is right now because he was out of football last year. Okay. And then he talks about Sean Wilson. Okay. The guy, I got the name right.
Sean Wilson.
Yeah, Sean Wilson.
Guy from Duke. Yeah.
Yeah. The rookie last year who got hurt, may have maybe 8 carries, did a little return work. He says, I watched all his practice film and nobody can cover him. Nobody could cover him out of the backfield. None of the linebackers could cover him. So I'm like, all right, wait a minute. So
we got Alvin Kamara. Emmitt Smith.
Quan's a Hall of Famer, according to John Lynch, and he can't cover Sean Wilson out of the backfield. Neither can Levante David. So Arian says Sean Wilson, he looks phenomenal in practice. I want to give him a shot, and that's it. He didn't even mention Ronald Jones at all.
I'm looking away again. I'm turning my eyes over.
Didn't you want to see O.J. Simpson do it? Or is that another story?
They need a third down back, Lee. They do need a third down back.
They need help in the backfield. I'm sorry. No. He could talk about Peyton Barber. And I'm not people take my honest critique as a personal attack on players. I have nothing against Peyton Barber, but to quote Dirk Cutter, this is a production league.
I know how to push the Kuemper's button, so I'm going to do it.
Rachel Watson's around here?
They need a Charles Sims from 2015. How do you like that?
What's he
from
doing these
2015?
Days?
2015.
Yeah, what's he doing
That's
these days?
That's all I said. I was very specific.
He's hanging out with Jaquizz Rodgers. He doesn't have a job either. I can't believe it. Ira, now, you mentioned the right side of the offensive line, and I have to at least get you and Lee's feedback on this bizarre quote, because it is a shocker. Very simply, I asked Arians, well, what do you see from Dotson on film? You brought him back. Simple question, right?
Simple.
Well, very complex answer,
You're
Ira.
Expecting savvy veteran. Savvy veteran, a dependable guy.
For a second, I thought you said savvy.
Savvy. Instead, what'd you get?
Now, I'm going to read what Arian said, and then I'm going to ask you to translate.
Glad I'm sitting down here.
I'm going to ask you to. I'm going to ask you to translate as soon as I'm finished.
Hold on, let me have a drink. Okay? Here.
All right. So I'm going to start, and you translate as soon as I'm done, Ira.
Right.
Okay. Bruce Arians, ladies and gentlemen, on DeMar Dotson.
Hell of a podcast, gentlemen.
All right. Arian says, I mean, he can still pass block. I mean, to me, that's where you start. Can he get better in the running game? Yeah. But, sometimes you're asking a guy and he just physically can't do something. I've had a couple of tackles that were really good pass blockers that couldn't cut off to the left. Don't ask him to. It's no secret. We'll run some plays just one way. All right. It's the only play in the game and we're going to run it right. They know it. We know it. Stop it. But don't ask him to do a bunch of that. You still have to do some of it, but don't ask him to do a bunch of it because he's going to lose. But he can still block.
All right, here's my first impression, Lee. I don't want to knock you off your chair. What is this, the freaking Packers sweep? We're coming after you, trying to stop us? What do you mean they're going to know what we're doing? at trying to stop us. Come on. What is it? You got Jerry Kramer and Forrest Gregg over here? Look, you know what that tells me? DeMar Dotson can't get the job done as a run blocker. He's not a good run blocker. Arians is telling me that the run game's got to be a lot better. That doesn't add up, Lee.
There you go. Why did they bring him back?
Depth.
That's
signing.
Awfully expensive depth.
A depth signing.
That's awfully expensive depth, especially for a team that's being choked by the salary
cap.
Can
they go in this draft and not draft an offensive lineman in the first three rounds?
I think they've already demonstrated they won't.
Wow.
Well, think about it. Look at the price tags on Donovan Smith, Ali Marpet, Jensen, and then Dotson. Look at the price tags.
Look, unless Alex Kappa bowls over light, they need a young guy on the right side of the offensive line. They need a young guy.
Well, the fun part of this, which is fascinating to me, you know, the Dotson quote there from the Arians quote on Dotson. Last year on the Buccaneers radio network, it stuck with me. I had to rewind it. I was so shocked. Dirk Cutter, late in the season, was talking about Dotson, and he said he's really might be the best pass-blocking right tackle in the league. And he left it at that, and he didn't say a word about his run blocking. So if Arians looks at this, and let's just say he looked at the film and was like, this guy's a top five pass blocker. I can't get rid of him. We'll work around him. I think that's what we got here.
Yeah.
And by the way, what Arians is saying is basically what Bill Belichick is famous for saying. Don't tell me what he can't do. Tell me what he can do.
I know, but I just think that Donovan Smith's going to have to pick up his run blocking if Arians to get to where Arians wants to go. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Arians talked about he wants leaders in every room. He wants an and he said, I wish I could have added more veterans as just an in-the-room meeting kind of leader, a go-to guy. He likes to have one big leader in each room, which is what Patrick Peterson told me at the Pro Bowl. But I asked him, so who's that guy on the O-line? And he said, Marpet.
He went right
to Marpet. And then he said, maybe Ryan. Donovan Smith was third on his list, and then he went back saying Marpet's the guy. You don't have to be 30 years old to be that guy. It's strange, Ira. This guy, Earl Watford, who they signed.
He loves him.
He loves him. He can play every position. They're paying him the veteran minimum. Offensive in a league that has a shortage of O-linemen, where this guy could play every position, but nobody in the whole NFL could see it.
You know what it smells like? O'Neal Cousins. That's what he smells like, O'Neal Cousins.
We have not mentioned somebody on this podcast, and we don't like to go too deep into any podcast without mentioning Jameis Winston, without even mentioning him. Steve, give us an idea. I know you don't want to go in depth on this, but you talked to Tim Glazer about Jameis Winston. Give us a little sense of, and I know you're going to be posting something, give us a little sense on how Joel feels about Winston getting the job done in 2019.
Well, I'll say this, Ira. All I'm going to say about that, because there's the on-the-record part, and then there's the off-the-record part. And I
got a sense.
Yeah, I understand what a sense means. Sage, come on, cut me a break. I'll say this. The last time the three of us last year sat down with Joel Glazer, we heard the optimism flowing about Jameis. We heard big optimism and confidence that included confidence that, he would get past this NFL thing. And, that was before he was suspended. I didn't get the same confidence from Joel Glazer about Jameis, although he did tell me that still no one's going to outwork Jameis, and they love the combination of Arians and Jameis, but I don't feel like there's some overarching thought at one buck that Jameis is the long-term guy. They don't know yet at all.
Does that lead you to believe that it's outrageous to suggest the Bucs would draft a quarterback in the third round?
Yeah.
Somebody that Arians likes?
This year, yeah. Next two drafts, there's quarterbacks.
What if they're 7-9, 8-8?
You make sure you don't go 7-9.
Oh, that's a strong line over there, Lee.
Well, that's happening.
Trying to be the Miami Dolphins West over here?
No, we're trying to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We saw that with our own eyes.
But you don't think about that in September.
You better. If you don't
Right now they got the chips on Winston.
Yeah, but I'm speaking hypothetically. If Jameis isn't the answer, you better be thinking about drafting someone by September next year's draft. Oh, you're talking about September 2019. You can't. I don't think you draft it. No, they got more needs than quarterback right now. And if you need a if you decide in November or December, Jameis isn't your guy,
By the way, Steve, what you mentioned about a leader in every room, is that probably the reason we got Blaine Gabbert in Tampa?
Blaine Gabbert.
No, no, I'm serious. In terms of leader.
No, I don't think that's why.
A veteran leader in the quarterback room.
No, I don't think that's why. But the Bucs did sign Gabbert, and I thought it was very interesting that Arians said, Blaine Gabbert, if you went out and had a little workout right now, his workout, as far as raw talent and throwing ability, would be better than any quarterback in this draft and any quarterback in last year's draft.
I don't care one bit about that line. That means nothing.
Well, I thought it was,
Blaine Gabbert has been a terrible pro.
You know, there's someone we all know. I like him. You covered him. Steve likes him.
Who, Newt Rockne?
Jim Thorpe for all you. Right. A very prominent football man in this area. A lot of fans don't like him, but that's I can't speak for them. This guy is, I'm sure right now, is planning to jump off overpass on the 275. This guy absolutely despises Blaine Gabbert. I thought of this yesterday when the Blaine Gabbert rumors started. I'm like, oh, no, someone better check on this guy.
But he played for Arians in 2017.
I'm just saying this guy, he didn't care who Blaine Gabbert played for. This guy despises Gabbert.
Who's this?
Sean King. Just goes wild when you mention Blaine Gabbert.
Well, looks like Blaine Gabbert's going to be on this roster, Steven, come September.
Oh, yeah, of course he is.
I thought it was fantastic when the candor reached a new level versus what Dirk Cutter gave us, and he was a very good guy as far as giving you quotes or just giving you insight into what was going on. Actually, Bruce Arians, talking about Blaine Gabbert, says, quote, he's asked about Ryan Griffin. You know, the other media has this obsession with Ryan Griffin. That guy's never freaking played a snap. Excuse me. Arian says, it's an open competition, but it's probably not.
That is classic. That's classic Arians. It's fabulous.
That's a classic right there. But he likes the guy, and he was saying Jameis is going to love Gabbert and that Gabbert knows the offense, and Jameis, you know, will be able to lean on him a little bit if he needs to.
Well, that answers my question about Gabbert providing the veteran leadership that in every room that Arians is talking about.
One thing Arians also said off to the side was that he has to be very careful not to overcoach Jameis. I'm going to write this up tomorrow. And he said that Christensen is a master of basically saying to Bruce Arians, Bruce, that's wonderful, that's great, you're right on point. But you can't throw that at the quarterback now. You got to let him breathe a little bit, and let's get to that next week. And he said Christensen is good for him to sort of let him know how to measure, how to talk to these guys and when. And but he said, you know, we can't throw everything at Jameis right away.
You know, Christensen's an interesting character, Lee. He had a checkered stint in Tampa with Dungy. Gruden came in. He was gone. He's gone on. He's done some good things, Christensen. And he's earned Arians confidence. He thinks he's going to be a great fit with Winston. You got a feel on Christensen?
The only feel I have, and it's very
acid reflux.
What's that?
Acid reflux.
No, my feel was, I was thinking this when Steve was talking about Arians quoting Christensen, calling him a master. And I was thinking of a different word that begins with master, but I'm not going to go
understand.
There. But when Christensen was here as a quarterback's coach, with Sean King, by the way, the fan, oh my, I transport ourselves back to 1997. And you would say back then, there'll be a future with the Bucs where Clyde Christensen will be in charge of the number one overall pick quarterback of your Buccaneers. This would be like a June Jones situation. Everybody would be drinking the Kool-Aid and there'd be mass bodies across. They wouldn't be able to live with themselves.
Jim Jones.
Oh, did I say June Jones?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
Jim Jones.
June Jones, too, the way his offense was.
He's got June Jones running Jamestown over there.
The radio shows were just full of Clyde Christensen.
Has gone on, and he's done some good things. You know,
I can't say yay or nay. I can't say yay or nay.
How long are we going to go on this podcast? You're past 2 hours already over here.
All right, Sage, come on. All right, we're going to head out. It's not 2 hours. It's not even 1 hour. Ira, come on. What are we, bad company or something like that? I run across the country to get stories for you.
By the way, you might as well whet the listeners' appetites. I've got a big birthday coming up this summer.
Oh.
And you're out there drumming up sound bites from people.
I've been working for a little while. This wasn't my first time. I'm working a little while to get some get some roasting of you. We're going to have a fun podcast on your birthday. And I was able to...
Are you going
to
throw me a party? Is there going to be a party involved in this thing?
I haven't planned it out yet. It's
March.
We'll
get the commission involved over here.
I was able to get John Gruden and Mike Tomlin to... make a birthday address.
And Gruden did another Kaufman imitation.
Gruden
right?
roasted you. He roasted you pretty good. Me. I won't reveal the punchline, but it'll be worth it. It's funny. All right, Sage. We got a lot more to talk about. There's plenty going on in the world of the Bucks. The podcast can be found at iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. Keep listening. Keep enjoying it. We appreciate it.
And who is the proud sponsor of this podcast? Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. By the way, I believe it's worth noting, you set me up with John Cooper shortly before the Lightning season began. We sat together, and I believe it was in Brandon, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. And I guess I gave him some good karma over there because he just got a new contract extension.
I heard that.
He's the longest tenured coach in the NHL. And the Lightning. Yes, he is.
Wow, I didn't know
that's
that.
Amazing. Yep. And the Lightning are having a season for the ages.
Yeah.
Now, the
let's hope they have a happy
animal,
ending. Not like Bob Kraft.
I fully expect them. They've been the best team all year long.
All right, Sage, 2 minutes. I want to hit on one thing that's important. Bruce Arians was over the top. Vernon Hargraves is an outside cornerback. He trusts him. He believes in him. He liked him in the draft years ago. This guy is going to be the cover guy outside, and they'll find a nickel later. They'll figure out who a nickel is going to be. Your thoughts?
Lee, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make it up. Wasn't the overarching theme regarding Hargraves last year was he was more effective inside? You can't make this stuff up, Lee. Now another fresh set of eyes comes in. No, he's outside. I'll tell you what, Lee. I don't want to laugh about this because if he is an outstanding outside corner, that goes a long way to solving a lot of the problems of the Buccaneers. You've made that point many times. He wasn't drafted to be an inside corner. If they can get him to be an effective outside corner, you will have nothing to say about their first pick in the 2016 draft, which right now looks a little shaky. But if he's the guy that Arians thinks he is, that puts a whole different look on the Roberto Aguayo draft.
You threw me off there with the introduction of Roberto Aguayo.
It's the same draft. Same draft.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I never thought Hargraves was that bad as a rookie. And there's people like, oh, he was targeted so many times. Well, who wouldn't target a rookie when you got Brent Grimes on the other side?
You're right. He was okay.
Yeah, I thought he was okay. Some people think I have absurd standards. The way they had absurd standards for Vernon Hargraves, it just blew my mind. I didn't think he embarrassed himself.
And I think Carlton Davis did okay last year.
Did he not make 15 or 16 starts that year? You know, people always bring up, well, he was targeted so much. Well, no kidding. I mean, what moron wouldn't target a rookie? I mean, give me a break.
But he also was playing during that 5-game winning streak when they were playing a very, very strong defense.
What this tells me, if Hargraves has a decent year this year.
At the outside, on the outside.
Yes, as an outside cornerback. What this just demonstrates, and I think we all know this, just how inept Mike Smith was.
Steve, it's another chapter in where should the guy be playing, whether it's MJ Stewart.
And this is nothing new, by the way.
And it's nothing new.
Yeah, I mean,
nothing.
MJ Stewart, Ryan Smith. I mean, these guys can't figure out where to play people.
Steve, we know where you belong. Right here with that microphone in your hand. Get out of here, Steve.